Welcome to the Amy Rushworth Show. I'm your host, Amy. I'm so glad you're here. I'm an empowerment and sexual wellness coach, breathwork teacher, podcaster, course creator, badass bitch, and a globally recognized thought leader on empowerment. And I'm here to help you if you're ready to fuck off the rules and create a life of unashamed, unapologetic pleasure and deep, deep confidence. I have a burning passion for the taboo and naughty areas of womanhood that we're not supposed to talk about, such as sexual wellness, bold self-expression, defying social expectations, and so much more. The topics that we're typically taught to shut up about or be ashamed of are the conversations I live for, and those are the kind of juicy, soulful chats that are going down on this show. My intention is for you to step into your most outrageously free, unapologetically expressed version of you. So if that sounds like a vibe, let's fucking go. Are you ready? Welcome back to the show, beautiful humans. I'm so grateful for your presence. And I'm excited to say that we have just hit 115,000 downloads of the show, which is more expansive and big and amazing and bigger than my wildest dreams and my initial intentions for this podcast. So thank you so much for being here and for tuning in every week and being with me on this incredible journey and in this school of life that we're all in. I am so excited for today's episode, but before we dive in, huge thanks to our sponsor, The Happiness Planner. The Happiness Planner, as I'm sure you know by now, because I talk about them all the time, are an amazing brand providing journals of all different kinds, from manifestation to self-awareness, general diaries and planners, gratitude journals. They've got loads of amazing free things on their site as well. And they've also got an app. So if you're more of a digital gal, you can do your journaling practice every day using their app. So check them out. I've left their details in our episode show notes and I've left discount codes there for both their journals and also off of their app subscription. Hello, gorgeous. How are you today?
I am so, so good, and I'm so glad to be here today, Amy.
Me too. We're both getting into this heat wave experience, and we're going to get hot and heavy in this conversation, which I'm so excited about. Before we do, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
I would be honored to, Amy. Thank you so much. My name is Dagmar Khan, and I am based in the gorgeous sunny southeast of Ireland, so I guess we are next door neighbor, and I am woman's leading pelvic health specialist and the founder of Flourish Institute, where I have developed a body of work that helps women from every walk of life, from every race, gender, and ethnicity, to break free from any dysfunction or malady that might be happening in her pelvis. So everything ranging from organ prolapse through incontinence, through healing from sexual trauma, miscarriage, abortion, or even going through menopausal years with more grace and vitality in their bodies. My work really helps women to understand how their body works so they can activate the healing inside of them and truly start focusing on living their best lives.
Amazing. That is so beautiful. And this is exactly why I'm so excited to talk to you today, to kind of lift the veil, to lift the filter, to lift the stigma on this really fucking powerful part of a woman's body that we've been ignoring for years and centuries and disowning. And I'm really passionate about helping our listeners and helping my community to really reclaim this. So why don't we start with what are some of the sort of big issues that you see that are really disempowering for women when it comes to their pelvis, to their pussy, to their cervix? Like, what are the big kind of experiences that we're not talking about publicly that we can address?
Absolutely. Well, I think the catastrophe of nowadays is the level of disconnection from our bodies. And it's way above just, you know, do I like myself? Do I not like myself? Am I too much in my head? I mean, what happens when you're disconnected from your body, when you're disconnected from your pelvis, when you're disconnected from this such an important, essential part of yourself and of your system? Your brain begins to receive a less sensory input. And what that means, it starts to compensate with all sort of weird movement patterns that can lead to, you know, shoulder pain and knee pain and hip pain and tension headaches and what have you, that might feel like very sort of disconnected one from the other. But the level of, I think the level of musculoskeletal diseases that we see nowadays is truly alarming. And there are, said but true, millions of women suffering with pelvic challenges such as incontinence, organ prolapse, pelvic pain, menstrual pain. I mean, can we talk about menstrual pain for a moment?
100%. Let's go there for sure.
Certainly. So, oh God, where do I even start? So, girl gets her period. Obviously, she gets all the conditioning and all the cultural narrative that this is something to be embarrassed about, that this is something to be ashamed of, that she has to keep it in secret. And there is even that conditioned presumption that menstruation has to be a time of pain and suffering.
Totally.
And being in a bed for 24, 48, 72 hours. And what do we see? Young girls, women in their 20s, women in their 30s, experiencing their whole lives, month after month, is debilitating pain associated with menstruation. I say to every woman that comes to my work, if you have even minutiae of menstrual pain, you still have pelvic healing work to do. Because the truth is that your menstruation is not meant to be time of like despair and falling apart. It's meant to be time of deep rest and profound regeneration and invitation to go within so you can shed in a really life-affirming way and emerge into the next month with more grace and vitality and beauty inside of your body.
Yeah, definitely. And I've definitely learned to embrace that with my own menstrual cycle, but certainly in the past, did not at all. I would have been one of those people who was saying, oh my God, yes, the pill can help you skip your period. And now I see it and I'm like, no, embrace it, honey, embrace it. And you know, you also touched on incontinence there, which is another taboo one. You said that 80% of women suffer with incontinence, 60% struggle with organ prolapse, 30% suffer with pain during sex. Like, this part of our body is clearly talking to us, but I'm not sure that everybody's getting the message. So what are some of the meanings and some of the signals that can be communicated through these symptoms to us? And how can we start to listen? How can we start to tune in instead of just taking a pill or just thinking that it's a nuisance?
Beautiful question. And I'm really loving that you're inviting this angle of inviting for the listening and inviting for the meaning. So according to Eastern medicine, every single cell, every single tissue of our beautiful bodies has a voice, has capacity for communication, has capacity for sharing signals with us. And when it comes to these issues like incontinence, organ prolapse, many times it can be purely mechanical. And what I mean by that is, you know, we see incontinence with like high octane athletes, people who are doing a lot of CrossFit, people who are endurance runners. And there was even, I think a couple of years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago, there was a celebration of like really high-end octane female athlete who's done like this most insane workout on the planet. And there was literally a vet pool, right, under her station. And she was getting coverage left, right, and center. They were actually celebrating the fact that she worked out so hard that she literally lost the control over her bladder, which, you know, to me, this is absolute insanity. Your workouts are not meant to shred you and destroy you and tear you into pieces, which, said but true, is a huge part of the pelvic epidemics we are seeing right now, because women have this just incredibly dysfunctional relationship with themselves and with their bodies. So the mechanical piece aside, obviously there is pretty much 99.9% of the time psycho-emotional component. I'm a huge believer that one of the massive reasons we see so much pain and suffering in the pelvic region is because of the repression of the feminine. We are repressed from our bodies. We are disconnected from our sexuality. We have been conditioned and traumatized and exploited and manipulated to believe that our sexuality does not belong to us. It's a possession of our partner, or it's in service of our child or our children, and our sexuality doesn't belong to us. If you couple that with just these decades and decades of shame and abuse and this like body dysmorphia that we layer on top of that, to me, this is no wonder that we struggle on such a deep level. The beautiful thing is, Amy, that there is always a way out. And the way out is, as you have beautifully invited, it's not a pill, because that's literally, it's many times not even like masking the symptoms, but the way out is the way in, by connecting, listening, attuning, developing a loving relationship with ourselves, with our pelvis, with our cervix, with our pelvic floor. So one of the things I invite my students and clients over and over again into is, let's say you have a throbbing in your womb, let's say during your menstrual cycle. So instead of, you know, running for the painkiller, or instead of just like numbing yourself with a tap of Ben & Jerry, you invite your hands over your womb and you literally begin to foster communication, which is like, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm willing. What have you got to share? I love you. I love you. I'm here for you. And this can be very tender. It can bring up a lot of tears. It can bring up anger. It can bring up shame. It can bring up despair. But it is the process that truly leads to actual healing and liberation of woman's body.
Amazing. And if that is sounding very foreign to anyone listening, it would have sounded foreign to me many years ago. But really, like, this part of our body is so sacred and so special, isn't it? We think of the pelvis. The pelvis is the foundation of the whole body, of your body. Your body can't function if your pelvis is broken or, you know, not operating correctly. And then our womb, it's where every single person on this planet came from the waters in the shadow of the womb. Yet it's the part of our body that we feel most embarrassed talking about. Like, it makes no sense. So I think reconnecting to it, although it may feel strange initially for some people, is really like a very beautiful journey to go on.
It's a beautiful journey of self-love and reverence and appreciation for the wonder of our bodies. You see, and I'm loving that you are talking about the challenge this itself can bring up, especially if woman has had a lot of developmental complex trauma. This can be really challenging journey. Even, you know, feeling for or connecting with woman or pelvic system can be actually traumatizing experience. So we need to find, you know, a smart way of how to help women who might be in that place to actually foster that healing and that connection. So one of the kind of the foundational piece I start pretty much every client of mine with is actual lymphatic work. And lymphatic work, you know, lymphatic system is a very, very interesting system in the body. It's kind of, it has been tossed away by a medical system. It's only being looked at when people have cancer, right? And they actually need to get their lymph moving. They need to go for lymphatic massages. But the truth is that the lymphatic system is the single most important yet neglected system in addressing pain and inflammation and any autoimmune disease. So with lymphatic work, the pelvis, and obviously the pelvis is connected to the abdomen, to the gut, the enteric nervous system, also known as the second brain of the body, there's tremendous interplay between gut and pelvis. So this whole midline region, the gut and pelvis, houses tremendous amount of lymphatic supply. And getting the lymph moving through the midline of the body in a really safe and smart and self-loving way without necessarily like going into the depth of the messages that, again, for someone who's just starting can be very, very traumatizing, it's incredibly powerful and beautiful way to actually begin that healing journey. And once woman gets her lymphatic system moving well and functioning well, it's literally many times like turning the coin on her health by 180 degrees. It's incredibly powerful.
I can definitely envision that because the lymphatic system is the way that the body purges, right? But like you said, you have to get it moving. It doesn't have a pump like a heart. So in the same way, if you're getting that lymph system moving, you may be moving old emotions, old traumas, old imprints that have been stuck and stagnated in the body since, you know, they could be there from your own birth trauma, from your own passage into the world. You know, I'm super passionate about like birth trauma and that and the effect on our life path. But interestingly, while we're talking about this, I'd love to touch on what happens to a woman's pelvic floor after she gives birth and when she gives birth, and how women can start to restore that in a more holistic way, other than just say, doing some Kegels, and we can talk about those as well. But, you know, I know you love to have this multifaceted approach to this work.
Thank you for asking this and bringing the K word into play. Yes. So there is a lot that can happen in birthing room. I personally may share a little bit of my story.
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
So I think one of the reasons, not I think, it's a certain, the reason why I do the work that I do in the world is because of my own pain and my own suffering. And I have been sexually abused as a young teenager between the age of 12 to 15. And it was incredibly hard. And I think the hardest part, sexual abuse aside, is that I have no one to confide to. No one. And when I eventually did, at the age of 15, all the guilt and shame was brought onto me. So not surprisingly, as a lot of sexually abused women, I became mother at a very young age. I became mother at the age of 18. And my baby was the light of my day. He meant everything to me. And for the first time in 18 years of my life, there was a sense of purpose and meaning and reason to get out of the bed. Unfortunately, relationship with his dad, with my first husband, was less than optimal, was plain downright dysfunctional. So by the time my son was 4 years and I was 22, I have applied for divorce. And that day was the defining day of my life, because my ex-husband, as a way to punish me, he has decided to kidnap our son and keep him forcefully away from me. He threatened me every single day for 18 months that I will never, ever, ever see my son again. Now, those 18 months, Amy, they were just the most excruciating pain in my soul. I saw no light. I saw no hope. I felt depressed. I felt like I'm going to fall apart. And the hardest part was no one could understand. No one could understand the level of pain I was going through. So when eventually through a good, I would say a good justice system, Me and my son, we got reunited after 18 months of forceful separation. Obviously, there were so many tears. There was, you know, so much release. There was a lot of repair that had to be done between myself and my son. But eventually, slowly and sensitively, we started rebuilding our bond. But what this has done to me is I started dating and I met my new husband, who is not my new husband anymore. We are 15 years together. He is the love of my life. And, you know, we're really mad about each other. We love each other. We get married. And suddenly it's like, okay, right, like let's become parents. So I am like 25, 26. I am remarried. I love my husband and my husband wants to become dad. And guess what? I can't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of infertility. The trauma of having my first son kidnapped and me being forcefully separated put me in an absolute shock, created a massive shock in my system and put me in something what's called in the trauma resolution world, a functional freeze. So my reproductive system was completely, absolutely shut down. And there was also a lot of like psycho-emotional terror. I literally felt terror about being pregnant again. So there was a part of me like desperately wanted to be a mother again and have a child with my husband. And there was part of me was petrified of pregnancy.
Wow.
So 10 years of a lot of healing, personal development, working on my womb, working on my pelvis, working with functional medicine specialist and like doing everything possible on the planet so I can actually heal my mother wound trauma and say yes to pregnancy, say yes to motherhood, say yes to being a mother again.
Wow.
Right now, my toddler, my little toddler is almost 3 years. He's 2 years, 8 months. And not surprisingly, we have named him Rumi after the ancient poet, after the ancient messenger, because he is a messenger of the healing that I had to go through in order for my body to be functional again, in order for my body to say, yes, I can conceive and I can hold on to pregnancy and I can bring a new life into this world.
Wow. That is so incredible. And thank you so much for sharing your truth with us. I think what you shared would be so inspiring for anyone who's listening as well, who's on that journey of navigating potential infertility or trying to get pregnant, which I know can be so painful. And I'm sure you would resonate with that. So what was the missing link, or what was the several kind of pieces that you think brought you into that communion with true healing, not just the physical, but the emotional, the spiritual?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So definitely like the foundational piece, the absolute foundational piece was healing the tether, was healing the tether of being pregnant again. So finding parts of myself, of my body, of my nervous system, where the tether was held, and actually starting to feel through and discharge and release some of this tether that was actually held, not surprisingly enough, it was held a lot in my psoas and my kidneys. The kidneys are in connection with the psoas. They're like the stress organs in the body. And when the body is in functional freeze, when the body is like in this state of shock that has not been discharged, this was true in my system. This is where a lot of dysfunction is being held. It can actually be manifested as tether in the system. So healing the kidneys, healing the psoas was a massive, massive foundational piece for me to give my body even this openness and possibility for healing. The second massive piece was definitely magnifying my vision, definitely magnifying and seeing myself as the woman who can have a remarkable, beautiful, loving, and safe relationship with her child. So instead of being in the dark clouds of, this is not possible for me, I'm broken, I'm hopeless case, really stepping and amplifying the vision of how I want to feel and be and actually create a family that really lights me up, that really lights my soul on fire. And then without a question, connecting to the spirit of the child and like really stepping into this almost like energetic connection with my son and inviting him in a loving, in a safe, in a gentle way to come into my body so his life can be conceived and his life can be created inside of my womb.
Amazing. And did you do that through meditation or was there a different somatic practice that you used?
A lot of things. A lot of things. Yes, definitely meditation. A lot of self-massage practices. So one of the pieces that I massively value in my work is fostering a touch. Touch is such a, you know, basic human need. Every single one of us were born with the instinct to be touched. Babies, if they won't be touched, we know that they won't survive. Or if they are under touch, their brains are not developed fully. There's a suboptimal development of the brain. Now, the instinct of touch has never, ever been taken away from us. But going back to what we're saying before, cultural conditioning, shame, religious guilt, all this dysmorphia we have about our bodies has put us out of the touch with ourselves. But the second you touch any part of your body, whether it's hand or it's your cheek or it's like getting into the psoas or it's doing like a visceral manipulation into the kidneys and spleen, and different levels of touch you foster actually produce tremendous amount of physiological safety. So self-massage and touching myself in a variety of ways was building this embodied sense of biological safety that has really, really helped me foster that whole bodied yes into pregnancy and being pregnant, becoming mother.
Totally. It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It's like your body is the vessel that is a physical vessel that's going to either create or not create life, depending how it's feeling. And so with the nervous system, it's like you can't talk to your nervous system necessarily. You have to talk to it through touch, through feeling, through sensation. And if you have a lot of crystallized sensation, that touch is not safe, or you are shamed if you touch yourself because, you know, maybe when you're young, you used to do that, or somebody abused you, or your imprint of touch is like not safe. You're not going to be able to reprogram that through, you know, just some scientific like petri dish or injection. You have to like get into the root of that and show your body that it's safe.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Your body thinks in feels. Your body thinks in feels. So fostering that feeling, that sensory perception, the embodiment, the like a sparkly explosion, different parts of your body is truly, truly life-changing. In fact, when we go back to some of our, you know, maladies in the pelvis, like let's say endometriosis. Let's break down endometriosis for a moment, shall we? Now, the challenge with endometriosis is that obviously it's incredibly, incredibly uncomfortable. Incredibly, it can be incredibly painful. It has a huge impact on the quality of women's life. Now, that being said, with endometriosis, what woman perceives is pain. What I'm feeling is pain in a relationship to the womb. Now, with the signals of pain rushing into the brain says, okay, it's not safe for me to feel this part of my body because it's not comfortable to be conscious of pain, all day, every day. Are we good on this so far?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So what happens, more pain there is, the more brains decides to disconnect. Now, on the other side, when we actually start creating a conscious connection with the womb, whether it's like maybe it's safe only to go to the side of the womb, like the side of the pelvis, because the intensity of the pain is so much. Maybe it's safe to go just like slightly bit below the womb or above the womb. Maybe it's safe to go directly into the womb with some pressure that's like respectable. But what you start doing with touching and building the sensory awareness is you'll begin to send signals into the brain that it's safe for me to feel. It's safe for me to connect. It's safe for me to perceive. And here is the superpower around pain management. The pain signals and the sensory signals, they travel in the same neural pathways. And what that means is the more you start sensing yourself, sensing your womb, like through touch, the more you will begin to override the signals of pain. And that's how you over time rewire your nervous system out of pain into safety, comfort, and goodness in your body.
Amazing. And can you use a yoni egg for this practice?
You can certainly do really beautiful things with the yoni eggs, and they are incredibly powerful for obviously having that sensory awareness into the vagina, into the vaginal canal, into the cervix, then with specific like breath work focuses and energetic movements, you can really begin to cleanse the womb that's obviously living up north, about the vaginal canal, very, very helpful, very powerful. But if you want to get specifically in the womb, actually one of the practices that I teach that I feel that every single woman on this planet needs is taking a soft, pliable ball. I like to use the Gorgeous Ball from the Tune-Up Fitness Method, but you can literally have like a Gurdy balls on the market or like a Spree balls on the market. It's a soft, super light ball that you place on your womb and you lie face down. So what that means is that the ball is actually creating a direct contact into the womb. So you're literally sensing the landscape of your womb. And then you can do some really simple breathing and movements to actually begin to improve movement of fluids and start reducing fascial restrictions or tissue restrictions around the womb and really build a profound sensory feedback into the uterus.
Amazing, amazing. It's very interesting. I find that there are a lot of these tools that we can use and the sort of more alternative and holistic mentors tend to advocate for them. But then you've got, on the other hand, this very like evidence-based and science community that's like, that's bullshit. It's not proven. But then you have thousands of women around the world who have had these amazing results from these more alternative methods. So that's why I'm really passionate about sharing these kind of tools and sharing your wisdom on the show today. And like when you start using this ball, for example, could it be quite painful if you have a lot of trauma or a lot of emotion or sort of tension in the womb space?
Certainly can be really, really uncomfortable. And especially if there is trauma, if there are fascial adhesions, but also if there is a scar tissue. Actually, scar tissue creates a lot of havoc on the abdominal region, on the pelvic region. So what is really essential is to be tiptoeing your way, which means going slowly, gently, with loving attention, loving awareness. That fitness trend of deeper, faster, stronger, harder does not work here, right? It's going to kick back at you in not a good way. So going gentle, witnessing the different, you know, segments with different parts of yourself. And then there are very specific breathing strategies and muscular strategies that help to ameliorate tension that are really effective and help women, especially those who might have inflammation, a lot of trauma, or even maybe nerve compression in this part of themselves, to help do it in a way that's safe and it's actually adding to their healing.
Wow. And have you seen people sort of radically heal seemingly incurable conditions or issues, you know?
100%. 100%. I have a lot of women, prolapse, autoimmune diseases, years of IBS, years of infertility. But one client that like really just lands in my heart in such a deep way is actually bright young woman who has had 18 years of orgasmic pain. And imagine just, you know, orgasm is kind of a beast of its own, right? But most women, even those who might have pelvic challenges or might be disconnected or might have a sexual trauma, they still experience pleasure with orgasm, right? It's the peak and expansion of pleasure capacity in our bodies. But this woman, the second she would have an orgasm, she would go in excruciating whole body pain. So for 18 years, all she knew was pain related to her orgasm. And with the work that we have been doing together, which was massively, massively getting her system out of her shock and improving movement of fluids through her whole pelvic system, blood flow, lymphatic, improving her nerve conduction, the pelvis, she was actually able to break free of 18 years of debilitating orgasmic pain in a space of few months. And she told me that, like, Dagmar, I feel like I have myself back. I have my body back. I have like something that I feel has been stolen from me. And, you know, I have been like looking for answers here, there, and everywhere, and no one understands to get this understanding about my body, how my body works and what I need to do to actually facilitate this level of healing. She said, this is life-changing. This is absolutely life-changing.
Wow, that's so amazing. And I really resonate with what she's saying in that, like, if you have a problem with your body, with your pussy, with whatever, there's hardly any information broadly available, publicly available for women. You can't even find really that many photos of women's vulvas on the internet, right? Because it's considered pornographic, even though it's just, you know, a picture of our beautiful bodies. So I think that's so amazing that you're able to like give her that container and give her that safe space and understanding. And yeah, I have a lot of respect for the work that you do. Another question that I definitely want to ask you came from one of my people in my audience, actually, was how can you start to restore and regenerate not only the pelvic floor, but also sensitivity and sensuality after you've had children and maybe you've had some traumatic birth experiences and you're just not really feeling it, whether you're feeling numb or you're not feeling sexy because you're in that motherhood chapter. Like, what do you advise for the woman who's on this journey?
I can definitely relate to that. My toddler is more intense than ever before. Yes, certainly. So there are a lot of things that obviously play a role in the traumatic childbirth. And I think the first piece is just like before we even look at sexiness and sensuality is for women to definitely get checked whether her pelvic floor is on the weaker side or on the tighter side so that, you know, she is stepping in a healing program that actually fits her body. So even like paying one visit to a pelvic floor specialist where she can get internally examined and get the understanding, okay, what is the condition of my pelvic floor, is really, really, really helpful. Now, that aside, a lot of the sensitivity actually comes back to what we have been discussing over the last couple of minutes, which is touch, 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 touch. So the more touch you foster, whether you are like massaging your hips and buttocks on a foam roller, or you are, let's say, with your thumbs in the comfort of your bed, even for 5 minutes, maybe when your little one sleeps, is napping, or later on in the evening when your partner can take over, but massaging the pelvic floor tissue with around the clitoris, around the vulva, around the vagina, it's incredibly, incredibly helpful. And one of the like really latest piece that I am doing in my own work that is blowing my mind, is using a vibration to actually foster tremendous healing through the pelvic system. So there are tools on the market. They're called like a trigger point vibrational ball. So it's not a trigger point ball specific. That's only for trigger points, but it's a ball that you literally, you turn it on like a vibrator and it vibrates. And with that, what this new mother can do, she can actually put it on her perineum. She can put it on different parts of her vulva. She can put it in different parts of her pelvis and allow the vibrations to actually move through her pelvic system, which is exquisite for discharging the birth trauma and normalizing the whole pelvic system back to health and vitality, and like just really feeling good and yummy and beautiful inside of her pelvic system. Very powerful.
Yeah. Well, it is a beautiful system, isn't it? And I think a lot of women really need to like reclaim that, you know, and recognize that, yes, you know, this amazing channel inside of your body has given birth, has given rise to life, but there's also a healing that needs to take place and a restoration. And it's this beautiful part of your body that has so much power and so much wisdom. And it's not something to be ignored. It's actually something to be celebrated and taken care of really lovingly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe every day when I attend to myself as a new mother, I can be a bigger presence in my child's world just by expanding my own world. To me, healing myself or doing my practices or, you know, up-leveling my mind or connecting with my yoni is a way of like breaking free of all the abuse, all the trauma, all the centuries of colonization of female bodies, and actually for the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years, having the freedom and the liberation and the tools and the science, right, to say yes to myself in devotion of my future generation.
Totally. And every other woman as well, the feminine lineage. And you mentioned something really interesting that I'm passionate about, and that is these centuries and centuries of patriarchy and colonization of women's bodies, disempowerment, but also exploitation of women's sexuality. Because, you know, even today, actually, I saw this, Dagmar, where there's this video clip for this new song by Cardi B, and she's talking all about, you know, sex and loving her sexuality. And there's this huge outrage about it because it's a woman owning her sexuality, not a man making money off a woman's sexuality, like in the porn industry or something like that. So it's really interesting, I think, for us to examine, like, how do we reclaim this as this beautiful part of our expression, not as something that we need to be ashamed about, but also how do we heal the ancestral imprint of that shame? Because many of these conditions may have that ancestral link where you're carrying something that's like quote unquote genetic, or a condition that runs in your family or runs, you know, in your mother's body, in your grandmother's body. But like, how do we start to actually heal that on the cellular level so that we're not passing down those codes?
Is that a question or statement?
I don't know. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so excited to talk to you. So in your work though, like on this point, how do we start to pick up on like whether this is a trauma from this lifetime that's manifesting in our pelvis, in our condition, or whether it's something that is ancestral, or do we even need to know where it comes from, or do we just need to kind of throw ourselves into healing?
I love this question. And I think this is such a massive topic. It's definitely in the line of work that we are, and like in the feminine consciousness and personal development and women focusing on living their best life, there's a lot of like this question is hanging around a lot. Now, the beautiful thing about our bodies, the marvelous thing about healing from trauma is you don't have to know where is it from. Is it a sexual abuse? Is it that, you know, violation of your boundaries? Is it the thing that has happened for millennials to women before you? No. What matters is all trauma healing happens in the here and now. All trauma healing happens in the body. So what that might mean very specifically, like let me make a specific example, shall I? So let's say a woman is in an intimate relationship, and anytime she loves her husband, very much, let's assume that. But anytime her husband is trying to get intimate with her, she can feel like this ripples inside of her pelvis, inside of her womb. And she's like, what's wrong with me? Like, I love my husband, but I just cannot get my body to function with me. So this might be a result of sexual abuse. This might be a result of a conditioning she has got from her mother. This might be a result of colonization over the last 100 years. We don't know. But a beautiful thing she can do is in a somatic and nervous system way, begin to unwind some of this like strong bodily reaction that will allow her, and this is the key here, that will allow her body and her physiology to be harmonized, come in harmony. And this is where like the whole trauma resolution magic happens. And this is where woman reclaims the freedom to feel how she wants to feel, to be who she wants to be, and to do what she wants to do.
Incredible. Amazing. And the next question that I have for you is, how does different things like hysterectomy, abortion, contraceptive pill, how do these influence the way that we connect to our womb space, to our pelvis, to that entire region? And does it block us from connecting to our feminine energy and our feminine cycle? I get asked this a lot.
Powerful question. And I think we could do like 2 hours just on this topic. I'm actually very passionate about prevention of hysterectomy. But let me put a few things in perspective here. With hysterectomy, I am always inviting women to hold off the idea to remove their womb. Because the second womb is removed, there is more pressure happening on the heart. So the cardiovascular system has to work tremendously harder in order to keep proper supply of blood flow through the whole system. The second thing that happens with hysterectomy is that obviously in the pelvic system, you have bladder on the front, you have rectum at the back, and you have womb in the center. So the second womb is being removed, the bladder and the rectum kind of falls off, and woman can develop prolapse 18 to 24 months post-hysterectomy. And the next piece is there's usually a tremendous amount of grief for the femininity that has been lost, the grief for loss of life or capacity to give life. On the other side, like when we look at contraceptive, what does contraceptive do? I have been on contraceptive what feels like forever. I have been on contraceptive for so many years. And all I felt is numbness. All I felt is nothing. All I felt is during making love to my husband, like, I don't feel anything. Nothing, nothing, nothing. What contraception does is creates this false state of, what is the word? I'm not finding the right word.
I'm sort of getting like, it's like a false state of being in control of the outcome.
Certainly. But from like a reproductive system, like most women on contraceptive, they stop menstruating, or in menstruation get massively influenced, and the whole reproductive system gets out of the whack. If your whole reproductive system out of the whack, there is no question that you will be disconnected from your feminine, that you'll be disconnected from your sexuality, you'll be disconnected from your desires and impulses and pleasures and what you truly, truly, truly want in life. One of the most powerful decisions woman can make in her life is to get off contraceptive, and start living a life that's based on connecting to her cycle, connecting to her pulse, connecting to her rhythm, and connecting to this natural ebb and flow that happens during entire cycle of 1 month.
Definitely, definitely. I think so many women are just so terrified of, first of all, their own
pregnancy, yeah. Right?
Totally.
I'm so scared of being mother. And this deep fear of pregnancy is so ingrained in our system. I'm going to put a really like bold statement here. But look, I've been at it. I've been in the pelvic field for the last 15 years. I have done over 8,000 client sessions to this day. So I have heard so many stories. I've treated so many patients. I have worked with so many womb experiences. And my sense is this terror of being pregnant is what's causing a current reproduction crisis. This terror of being pregnant is so hardwired in woman's reproductive system, in her ovaries, in her fallopian tubes, in her womb, in her whole pelvic system that, you know, she gets, let's say, in her like late 30s, she's in good marriage, everything is hunky-dory. And in her mind, she's like, yes, I want to be a mother. But her body is like, screw you, I'm petrified of being pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And how much of this do you think is related to the very masculine tone and rhythm of the world that we live in?
It's fully interconnected. It's everything.
Yeah,
it's taking us away from things that matter. It's taking us away from this beautiful wisdom and a preciousness of our bodies. One of the things I have done in my madness of helping myself to get pregnant is I've done a human cadaver dissection lab 6 years ago.
Wow.
I have spent 7 days with a cadaver, literally dissecting tissue by tissue, so I can look under the skin, so I can see and hopefully start to understand the cosmos of beauty and wisdom and power and graciousness that lives under the skin. Nothing brought me down to my knees in my entire life as going through the 7 days of studying human body. And nothing created such a deep love and devotion for our pelvic system as going through this experience. So Wow. If you are listening and you're like, you know, I hate myself. I'm disgusted by my belly. Oh my God, I hate sex. I can't get myself to make love to my partner. You might start looking at addressing yourself in a different way. Maybe you need to look at some anatomy books. Maybe you need to do a bit of reading on, you know, enteric nervous system or study the reproductive system. Maybe you need to start approaching this whole thing in a whole new way so you too can begin to view yourself, view your humanity, view your flesh, view the marvel of your body through different lenses. Because when you do, everything changes.
Mm. Yeah, 1,000%. And I do think that there is that disconnect there for a lot of women that I talk to, that their body has changed through something like pregnancy or a condition. And then they kind of logically, cognitively know, I should be grateful that my body did this amazing thing. But they're not consolidating these two pieces together. They're like, yeah, I know my body did an amazing thing, but yeah, I hate what I see. I hate what I feel. So obviously working with you would be a really good way to start consolidating that. But do you have any like favorite books or sort of go-to tools when we look at that piece around the body image for women?
Certainly. So one of the like the smartest, easiest, and to me the most transformative way of begin to address the disconnect in a practical way is, and I was speaking a little bit about it before, but in tiny bit different context, is to begin to use that soft pliable ball and actually begin to do abdominal massage. So placing the ball in different parts of the gut and actually fostering this embodied connection with the belly, with the midline, with the abdomen. Now, why does it matter? It matters on so many levels, including better gut health, including better immune response. But on this psycho-emotional piece that you're asking about, is the belly is from developmental objective, is the first source, this first place of nourishment and like feeling worthy of receiving everything you need in order to grow and thrive. Subsequently, belly is the place where a lot of women have like really big emotional pain, right? Disgust, self-hatred, shame, years and years of self-abuse. So what you can begin doing in the comfort and safety of your home is actually start dismantling some of these narratives and these stories that are held in your gut, not in your mind, they are held in your gut, and begin to end that inner war with your guts, literally, and start fostering relationship that that is based on love and reverence and deep, profound self-compassion.
Amazing. And how about we talk a little bit about this thing that you said that I found really fascinating. So in our culture, I think it comes from rhetoric and sort of disempowering rhetoric around women, but there's this thing of like, to have a tight pussy is to have a good pussy, right? But I was really intrigued because in this workshop that I was watching you do, you were talking about how like that doesn't necessarily signal that it's healthy and thriving and functional. You can actually be too tight sometimes, which is going to cause pain and imbalance. And then we have a weaker or a less toned pelvic floor or vagina. And so could you talk to us a little bit about the nuance of that? Because I'd like to break it down because I think it's very disempowering for us to walk around thinking that we need to like tighten up our pussies at all times of the day.
Absolutely. There are millions of women who have conditions like vulvodynia, vaginismus, chronic pelvic pain, nerve pain that have no business whatsoever to doing any pelvic floor strengthening. If they will, they're going to get only worse. Why? All of these conditions, also, let's add one more to this, pain during sex. So any pain during intercourse, aside of, you know, your vagina is a certain shape and maybe your partner's penis is really big in proportion to your vaginal canal, then that doesn't apply. But that aside, pain during intercourse goes in the same category. So with all of these conditions, the pelvic floor system is incredibly, incredibly tight. Now, I know this goes in against all the messaging we got in Cosmos and everything you can find on the internet and a lot of advice many women get also from their pelvic floor specialist, which is like all your pelvic floor needs is strengthening, and that is absolute bullshit. One of the biggest culprits of pelvic tension, and like if you would look at biomechanical world and like if you go into the physical therapy world, there'll be a lot of talk about, hey, you're sitting too much, and anytime you sit, obviously that puts a pressure and creates a tension in the pelvic system. Our shoe wear, wearing high heels is putting the pelvis in a tucked position, which is creating a fatter tension based compensation. Then when we look at all the muscles that surround the pelvic floor, like glutes, like hamstrings, like quads, all of that is so freakishly tight on people, on most people nowadays, that makes the pelvic floor really, really tight. Now, I want to go layer deeper with this because this is something I share a lot with my ladies, especially who have been sexually traumatized, and it makes massive, massive difference. The reason psychologically you are contracting your pelvic floor is because you don't feel safe. The reason why you're contracting your pelvic floor is because you don't feel safe. So think about it. Your pelvic floor surrounds your vaginal canal, which is the entry door, aside of your mouth, right? It's the entry door into your body. Now, when we look at the mouth are surrounding by obviously some of the most important muscles in the body, like the masseter that chews your food. A lot of women have tremendous tension in that jaw. So what I see, the sphincters or like the places where things can come into woman's body, again, the mouth and the vagina and the pelvic floor that surrounds the vagina are incredibly tight because women are doing it on a subconscious level to protect themselves from violation, to protect themselves from, being penetrated or abused or, harmed in certain way. So this happens at the nervous system level. But you can never fix this with affirmation. You can never fix this with, just like up-leveling your mindset. You gotta start doing work at the nervous system level. And that is the reason why I have client after client have like 10 years of vaginismus before they come working with me. And it's like they spend 10, like thousands and thousands of dollars on Kegel machines and pelvic therapists and this and that. And no one has ever addressed with them this foundational piece, which is like, okay, you know what? That is the reason why you're tightening your pelvic floor. Let us begin working on biological safety in your body so that your pelvic floor doesn't have to hold the brunt of the safety that needs to be your whole body experience.
Amazing. And so do you notice, given that there is this correlation between our mouth, our throat, and our yoni, I think the tissues are almost the same, aren't they? Like in the cheeks as well as the vagina. Yeah. So if we look at that from like a metaphysical and spiritual perspective, if women empower their yoni, their pussy, their pelvic floor, their cervix, their womb, does that affect their throat chakra and the way that they express themselves with their voice?
Million percent. I know you and I are like in the same group of people, right? Like we're in the sexuality space, tantra space, and you see it over and over again, like with ourselves, but also with our amazing colleagues, right? Doing all the work on sexuality and yoni and empowering the vagina, liberating the cultural narrative. It gives us a voice. It gives us a capacity to speak for ourselves, to express our truth, to honor, to trust, to understand who we are, because obviously that is a huge physical connection, but it's also massive psychoenergetic connection.
Ah, oh, amazing, amazing. And they look very similar anatomically, don't they, when you look at like the diagram?
They do, yes. And, you can do a lot of pelvic release by actually placing a finger in your mouth and starting to poke your gums and starting to disarm a tension in your gums. You might have just the best sex of your life, I'm telling you.
Wow, amazing. Wow. On that juicy note, where can our listeners find out more about you? And where are you not being censored, Dagmar? Because I know that you are being censored for doing this work, which is absolutely fucking ridiculous. But where do people find you?
Oh, I love this question. So I am mostly on Facebook. Facebook is my main place. People can find me. Simply type my name, Dagmar Khan, which is D-A-G-M-A-R and Khan is K-H-A-N. And as much as I love Facebook, I'm also censored on Facebook. And what that means is my profile is not censored, but actually my website, which is dagmarkhan.com, has been censored on Facebook. So many links are not working there. That being said, so Dagmar Khan on Facebook, Dagmar Khan on Instagram, Dagmar Khan on my website. And yeah, cannot wait to connect.
Amazing. Awesome. We'll leave all your details in the show notes. And thank you so much for sharing this amazing wisdom. And we'll get the word out via this podcast where you will not be censored whatsoever. And I just really am so grateful for the work that you do and the gifts that you embody. So thank you so much, darling.
Absolutely. It's been such an honor, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for doing this amazing, life-changing work. And I am really delighted to share this with your listeners.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this episode ignited you, expanded you, and enriched your heart, your mind, your life in some way. If it did, reach out on Instagram. My handle is thisisamyrushworth, or you can head over to my website for all my courses, retreats, and magical offerings at amyrushworth.com. If the show feels like a vibe for you, make sure you subscribe. And if you have 60 seconds to rate and review, or even to just share the show with a friend, I would be so, so, so grateful. And it helps more amazing, beautiful people like you to discover this show and to improve their lives for the better. Stay tuned for the next episode. And until then, I'm sending you strength, grace, ferocious courage, and a friendly reminder to always love yourself fiercely and to go out there and live your most unapologetic life.